The Vampire Kitty Cat Chronicles, Chapter 3, Meg's Got Balls. Down on the sidewalk, Meg reached the knife. She snatched it up, lunged to her feet, and stepped in front of Lester. My view was good enough to let me see her put the knife between his legs and lift. At the pressure on his crotch, Lester looked down at her. Meg said, "Let go of my cat, or you're going to live out the rest of your life missing a couple of parts." Considering what she was doing for me, I was willing to let the "my cat" go. It's a common mistake for humans to think that they can own a cat. I'd have laughed about that, but the thought of being a bag of ruptured organs was just a little distracting. Lester said, "You wouldn't." She added her other hand to her grip on the knife and pulled up. "Stop!" Lester lowered me. "I'm putting it down." I hated being called an "it." I tried another swipe at Lester's arm with a claw as he released me, and then I was busy twisting to land on all fours. Looking up at him, I decided that further infuriating a gigantic vampire was not strategically sound. Bless little Meg, though. She stepped back from Lester, holding the switchblade in front of her, and then knelt beside me. "Are you okay, Patch?" I gave her a little murr of assurance. She ran a hand down my back and stood. Sammy and George had untangled, and Sammy stepped next to Meg. He held out a hand for his knife, and when she gave it to him, he said to Lester,
"You can be sure this is going into a report at the AVA.
Lester sneered, which the fangs turned into a truly malicious expression. "As if I gave a rat's ass." He looked down at me and then sliced his finger across his neck in a throat-cutting gesture. It was a perfect time to give him the finger, if I'd had one. He turned, swirling his cape, stalked to his hearse, and roared away with a squeal of spinning tires and a stench of burning rubber. Sammy put away his knife and frowned at Meg.
"I'm afraid you've made an enemy."
Then he lightened up.
"But I'm sure you'll be safe with us."
"Who's us?"
"The American Vampire Association. Our mission is to preserve and protect vampire American heritage and culture."
He walked to his car and opened the passenger door.
"Come with me to headquarters. We've got an opening for a good writer."
Meg looked down at me. "What do you think, partner?" Nothing a cat likes better than being given the respect he's naturally due. This vampire woman had potential for being a good associate. And, besides, I was currently homeless. So I trotted to the car and leaped for the seat. Unfortunately, my legs turned to mush when I jumped. I cracked my chest on the bottom of the door opening and fell back onto the pavement. Sammy laughed. I stared up at him, vowing to pee in his car. If I ever got into it. If I could still pee. Then a low burn glowed like a coal in my belly. A glimmer of that gigantic pain that had driven me to have a rat cocktail after Meg drained me. It didn't consume me in a rush like it had before, but I knew the train was coming. I pushed myself up. I was going to need blood, and I'd do anything to avoid that pain. Anything. I looked around. This was a convenience store, so there had to be, rats out back. But then my new associate scooped me up, got in the car, and settled me on her lap. "We're ready." My gaze was drawn to her throat. Cats are realists. Practical, too. But there was no pulse beat there. And Lester hadn't bled when I scratched him. Was it possible to get blood from a vampire? The heat in my tummy cranked up another degree. As Sammy drove, he pointed out places that were lit up in the night. Convenience stores, a couple of gas stations, a burger joint, a video store, the emergency ward at a hospital, and said at each one of them,
"We've got people there."
The night shift. We came to a darkened four-story building, and he pulled into its underground garage, which did have lights on. We took an elevator to the top floor. The burn in my belly amped up, and I squirmed in Meg's grip. She ran a hand along my head and down my back. "Take it easy, Patch. I'll take care of you." I didn't want to bite the hand that petted me, but the blue veins on the underside of her wrist looked inviting. When the elevator doors opened at the fourth floor, there were lights on inside the building. Sammy said,
"Welcome to the AVA.
We stepped outside to aisles of cubicles surrounded by offices on the outside walls. The windows were covered with black curtains. I'd been to Amy's office when she wanted to show off her new kitten. Like all cats, I never forget anything. Comes in handy for holding grudges. This place didn't look much different, except for the black curtains. People went from here to there, papers in hand. A phone rang now and then. A white-haired woman, shaped like a stack of donuts with legs, cruised up. She looked like she should be home baking cookies for the grandkids, but she carried a bunch of folders. "Sammy, a lot of these are getting more and more pissed about problems with accessing government agencies." He frowned.
"I hate it too, but what can we do? We just need to figure out ways around it."
She inspected Meg and me. "I'd say welcome to you two, but to what?" She scratched me behind the ears. "Cute cat." "I hate cute. Cats are only cute when we're kittens, and after that we're elegant. Except maybe when we sprawl on our backs." Sammy did introductions.
"Meg, Patch, this is Vera. She runs communications."
"Vera the vampire? I bet she just loved that." He said to Vera,
"Meg's a writer."
Meg nodded. "Advertising." Vera gave her a closer look. "Think you can write nonfiction?" "Advertising isn't fict..." Meg shrugged. "Sure. Come see me when you're settled. I need an assistant." She handed a folded paper to Sammy. "Here's tomorrow's newsletter. Let me know if you need any changes." She checked her wristwatch. "We've got an orientation class to do in 5 minutes. Vera hurried away and disappeared into an office. Meg clutched me, and a little moan escaped her. My belly burned seriously, and I wondered what I could do when the pain really hit. Sammy babbled as he led us along a wall.
"A lot of our function is as an employment agency, and 2 floors below, we set up temporary housing for new vampires until they get established."
He glanced at us.
"We can help you there."
We came to a large room with chairs at long tables, vending machines, and a half dozen microwave ovens on a counter.
"This is our break room."
Meg put a hand on her stomach. I'm sorry, Sammy. It's starting to hurt. I'm going to need to go outside for a while." She petted me. "My friend Patch could only do so much." What the hell, it wasn't my idea for her to suck my blood. And Ratso hadn't done a whole lot for me either. I wondered briefly if a vampire rat was out there roaming the night. Nah. I'd broken its neck, and it was totally dead before I dined. The pain grew, and it was getting hard to think straight. Sammy said,
The vampire pain."
He looked down at me. I inhaled and gave him a hiss. He said,
"You too, I'll bet. But you guys don't need to go outside."
Digging into a pocket, he crossed to a big red Coke machine. He fed in a bill and punched a button. When a bottle thudded into the slot, he took it out, gave the machine another bill, and punched another button. He didn't pay much attention to which button he pushed, like there was only one thing stocked. A second bottle arrived. He took it out and walked to the microwave counter. The clear glass bottles looked like VA juice. In fact, the label read V1, but the red liquid inside was brighter than tomato juice. He said,
"Some people take theirs cold, but I think it goes down a lot easier at body temperature."
He uncapped the bottles and put them in a microwave, but not before my sniffer picked up the scent of blood. He started them heating and opened a cabinet door.
"Let me see if I can find a bowl for Patch."
He took one out and set it on the counter. The fire spread through my body, and I had to move. I twisted and flailed my legs until Meg put me on the floor. As the microwave hummed, the scent of blood grew stronger. I paced to keep my mind off the pain. A glance at Meg showed her biting her lip, her gaze locked on the microwave. She stood hunched over, gripping her belly with both hands. She moaned long and low. Sammy pulled out a chair for her.
Here, sit.
The microwave dinged and he took the bottles out. Handing one to Meg, he smiled and said,
"From our own bottling company."
She grabbed the bottle and gulped the stuff of life, and, apparently, death. Sammy poured half the other bottle in the bowl and set it in front of me. I plunged my muzzle in and then licked as fast as I could. My heart started up, and the burn faded fast. Sammy drank the rest. That was okay. I was already feeling great. When I finished, I sat and purred, that overall pleasure flowing through me again. Meg had chugged her vampire juice and now leaned back, her gaze unfocused. Our benefactor took a chair.
"You'll get used to the rush and it won't slow you down so much."
Meg shook her head and sat up. "Thanks. I'm afraid I can't pay you back, but if there's a job here..."
"My treat. You get the next one."
Meg said, "Have you got any gum? The taste of blood, well, I was a vegetarian before I joined the club, so this whole blood thing pretty much sucks." My heart stopped beating and the blood buzz died down, no pun intended. Sammy contemplated her question and then said,
"Don't have any gum? I wonder if it will work. Would your salivary glands start up? Would the virus care about a nasty taste?"
He indicated the sink.
"It might help to rinse your mouth with water, but don't swallow. It'll just sit in your belly."
Meg rolled her eyes. "Tell me about it. I was in denial after I was changed, and I ate a hamburger. The gas was... I felt like the Goodyear blimp. I wanted to die, but of course, I couldn't." I knew how she felt about the leftover taste of blood. My muzzle reeked of it. I licked a paw and got to work washing my whiskers and fur. My mouth was dry for a moment, then my cheeks tingled, and moisture came. There's nothing better than licking, especially when I can reach a spot directly with my tongue instead of having to use my paws. It starts with a single bit of skin that sends out the itch of attention needed. Then, when I lick that spot and the pleasure begins, the itch moves on and my licking follows, leaving behind a trail of happy skin. It is to purr. Sammy said,
"You should do our orientation class for new V's."
I was a V? She said, "Orientation? For vampires?"
"We cover feeding, jobs, dangers, the cause of vampirism, the mission of the American Vampire Association, stuff like that."
"You mean I might get a clue as to what's happened to me?" Sammy nodded.
"Yeah. Beer is good, and I chime in too."
Sammy looked down at his watch.
"It's time."
He pointed and said,
"Two doors down."
And left. Meg bent and scooped me up. "Let's go, Patch." I took a breath and gave her a major hiss. She dropped me like I was a bomb with a lit fuse. I wasn't really angry, but proper cat protocol is to ask. We're not furry baggage you can just haul around. "Humph," she said. "What's wrong?" I glared up at her and shook my head. Actually, the orientation thing had sounded like a good idea to me, but manners are important. I walked to the doorway, then looked back at her. Would she get the message? Meg squatted beside me. "I'd really like for us to stick together, Patch. Come with me?" She stretched a hand out to me, but made no move to grab anything feline. I liked my new associate's intelligence. I took in a little more air, said, "Murr," and then pushed my nose against her hand. I made no protest when she took me and stood, cradling me. I believe that associates learn faster when you reward their efforts, so I provided a soft little purr. She gave me a scratch behind the ears, and we went into a room set up like a classroom. A half dozen people sat in rows of metal folding chairs, facing a lectern in front of a large whiteboard. Sammy and Vera stood next to the lectern, and they nodded to us when we came in. Meg went to two empty chairs in the front row. After she set me on one of them, she stopped and stared across the room. She glowered and said, "That little bitch!" Meg strode to the other end of the front row and stopped in front of a tiny woman. She looked more like a girl than a woman, with black pigtails and an Asian face, dressed in hip-hugger jeans and a t-shirt. I thought Japanese, a fairly rare sight in a medium-sized Illinois town. Bloomsburg was not known for its diversity. That's one of the cool things about cats. We have no problem with diversity. A cat's a cat. The woman shrank down in her chair when Meg stood before her. Meg shouted, "It was you!" and stiff-armed the girl's shoulders with both hands, propelling her back. The Japanese tumbled into the chairs behind her, and I winced at the clang and bang of metal. When you have hearing as sensitive as mine, loud noises are a pain. Vera rushed forward and grabbed Meg's arms from behind. Meg pulled against her and fought to reach the girl. "You did this to me!" The Japanese woman struggled to her feet. She took a deep breath and sobbed, and her face twisted as if she were crying, although no tears came out. "I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. The pain, the awful pain." When she said that, Meg stopped trying to break free. She glanced at me. Her scowl faded, and she looked at the Japanese woman with a softer expression. Vera released Meg. "You're going to calm down?" Meg nodded. "Yeah, I'm okay." She looked at me again, then said to the Japanese girl, "I know what that pain does to you." Yeah, I could tell her a thing or two. The girl nodded. Vera said to her, "What's your name, dear?" After the girl answered, "Seiko," Vera said, "Pick up those chairs, please, and we'll get started." Meg sat next to me while Vera returned to the front of the classroom. Vera said, "Does anybody here know the cause of vampirism?" Now that perked up my pointy little ears. Yes, curiosity killed the cat, but that was hardly a problem with me now, was it? No one raised a hand or a paw. If I'd had breath, I would have held it. The song is Dire Wolf from Reckoning by the Grateful Dead. For more fun, visit VampireKittyCat.com.